You're listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis of Calvary Chapel San Clemente. On today's edition,
people want justice. They don't see God doing anything to punish the wicked. Where's God in these times? Where's God helping these people? And therefore, if God is not helping anyone, then God must not exist. He's not bringing justice to the world. But here's what they don't see. What they don't see is God's mercy and grace. That we're in a time of mercy. That we're in an age of grace where God is giving man time to turn to the Lord.
How do you respond when a tragedy occurs or hard things happen? You may wonder where God is and why he allowed such brokenness. You may question how God could be good when he lets injustice happen. Well, today, Pastor Holland shares that what can seem like indifference or lack of action is actually God holding back his judgment. You see, God wants everyone to know him and become a part of his family, so he is patiently waiting to act because of his overwhelming grace and love for us. Let's join Pastor Holland in the book of Exodus chapter 8 as he begins his message, The Day of the Lord.
The Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord. Now, what is the Day of the Lord? When we talk about the Day of the Lord, what do we mean? Well, the Day of the Lord is a definite, though undetermined point in the future when God will punish the wicked and justice will triumph. It's a time that's not today, it's in the future, it's a time that's yet to come, and it is a definite event. It's going to happen at a definite time, and we're going to look at that today in Scripture. And so we're going to look at the Day of the Lord through the lens of Exodus and point out some key aspects that I believe will bring great hope and encouragement to us today. And the first two are found in Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. If you want to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verse 22nd in a moment, but I'm going to talk about Exodus chapter 8. Chapter 8 describes the fourth plague that was put upon Egypt. It's the first of the second group of three plagues. There are three groups of three plagues. And this is the first of the second group of three plagues that were sent to Egypt because Pharaoh rejected God's revelation. And God commands Moses to tell him, "Send my people that they may serve me." That's what God created his people for, to worship and to serve him. And so he says, "Send my people that they may serve me. And if you do not send my people to serve me, I will send a swarm of flies." Now, the word flies in your Bible, if you notice, it's italicized. What does it mean when you see a word that's italicized? Well, what that means is that it was not in the original text. It's not in the original language, but it was added for the sake of clarity. And so in reality, the text simply says that God will send a swarm. And the rabbis believe that it was a swarm of wild animals. And there's others that believe it was a dragonfly, which is kind of a poisonous fly that when it bites you, it has extreme pain. But what kind of swarm it is really isn't important. That's what's not important to the story. What is important is what God is promising to do. What does God promise to do? God promises to bring justice. How do I know? Because the law of justice says whatever measure you will be, whatever you measure will be measured back to you. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, the first aspect of the Day of the Lord that we want to look at today is that the Day of the Lord is going to be a day of justice. It's going to be a day of justice. You know, there is a cry for justice in the world today. All over the world, you can hear a cry for justice. You can hear a cry for justice in the Me Too movement. Women not wanting to be taken advantage of anymore. We see that all over the world. Women no longer want to be taken advantage of, controlled, treated like less than human beings. We see it in the outcry against the four senators that had insider knowledge, insider trading knowledge, and they used that knowledge to dump their stocks right before the stock market took a crash. And everyone's crying, it's an injustice. We want justice. And the world wants justice. And the world is looking for someone who is going to bring justice, someone who is going to act. And one of the reasons that we see today that people deny the existence of God is because in these times when people want justice, they don't see God doing anything to punish the wicked. Where's God in these times? Where's God helping these people? And therefore, if God is not helping anyone, then God must not exist. He's not bringing justice to the world. But here's what they don't see. What they don't see is God's mercy and grace. That we're in a time of mercy, that we're in an age of grace where God is giving man time to turn to the Lord. As we look at the book of Exodus, God gave 9 revelations of himself to Pharaoh before the final plague, before the 10th plague. Each plague was a revelation of God. Everything God does, everything God says, reveals something of himself to us. And so God took time to reveal himself to Pharaoh so that Pharaoh could get to know God, so that when Pharaoh rejected God, he would know full well who he was rejecting. You know, 3 represents unity, and it represents the complete revelation of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so there were 3 groups of 3 plagues. So 3 times over, God gave the complete revelation. So he gave the complete revelation of himself. And what does this reveal to us? This reveals to us God's patience, God's kindness, God's mercy, God's compassion. He's slow to anger because he wants to reveal himself to us, and he does it 3 times. God did so that Pharaoh was without excuse, and God would be justified when he brought the final plague, the 10th plague, and the ultimate destruction of Pharaoh. You know, God is being patient with man today. That's why you see so much happening in the world today, because God is being patient. He's being merciful. He's revealing himself. His word is going throughout the world in record numbers. It's going all over the globe through the internet, through Instagram, through Facebook, through YouTube, through all the different social media, through all the different means, through the radio, through the television. God's word is being declared. And in doing so, God is revealing himself to man so that when the day comes, that day, the day of the Lord comes, man will be without excuse and God will be justified, and it will be clear. Everyone will go, of course, we had it coming when justice is rendered. And I believe that day is near. I believe that day is coming soon. Now, the second aspect of this is in verse 22 of chapter 8. And it says, in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. Now, notice here, the land of Egypt, the world, is judged. God has sent the swarm to bring judgment to the world. But the land of Goshen, where God's people live, is blessed. There is no swarm there. There's swarms in the world. There is no swarm in the land where people dwell. And here is an important aspect of the day of the Lord. In the day of the Lord, God's people will not be judged with the world. God's people will be spared. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we're talking about the day of the Lord here. And Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 is talking about the day of the Lord. And he's saying concerning the day of the Lord that we are absolutely not going to endure the wrath of God. Before the day of the Lord, There will be a 7-year period called the Great Tribulation. It's also known in the scriptures as the time of Jacob's testing, or the time of Jacob's trouble, Jacob representing Israel. And there are those who say the church will go through the tribulation. And yet God reveals himself and his love towards his people, and that his people are always spared from judgment and condemnation, always. Those who are in Christ, those who belong to him. And so the context of 1 Thessalonians 5 is Paul's teaching on this day, which is referring to that day or the day of the Lord. And Paul says emphatically, we are not appointed for wrath for the day of the Lord, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the hope of every believer, that we are set aside for salvation, that we are set aside for life, not death. The third aspect that we want to look at about the day of the Lord is found in Exodus 13. Exodus chapter 13, if you want to turn the page over into Exodus 13. This is in reference to the ninth plague, or the plague of darkness. And this is the final plague before the Passover, which results in the death of every firstborn male child in Egypt. And with this plague, God instructs Moses to stretch out his hand toward heaven that darkness may be over the land of Egypt.
Worship Life Radio with Holland Davis will continue right after this.
Hi, this is Holland Davis, and I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in San Clemente. And I just want to take a moment and invite you to come and visit us at one of our Sunday morning services or to our midweek Bible study. Calvary Chapel San Clemente is a Jesus people community right here in the city of San Clemente, California. You know, we identify with our roots in the Jesus movement because that's where I came to Christ. And of course, that's where Calvary Chapel was born. When you come to our church, you're going to find a church that loves to worship the Lord with song. We love to study God's word verse by verse, and we love to share the love of God with other people. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, consider visiting us. You can find out all about us online at calvarysanclemente.org. We look forward to worshiping with you soon, and may God richly bless you.
Now, let's continue with today's edition of Worship Life Radio.
He stretches out his hand, in essence, to bring judgment. And the Bible says that a thick darkness was in all the land. Now, the fact that it mentions that it's a thick darkness means that it was different than normal darkness. Normal darkness, you don't feel. You know, you close your eyes, you don't feel darkness. It's just the absence of light. But the fact that you're feeling this darkness, the fact that they felt something, that it was thick, shows that it was supernatural in nature. But the Bible also says that all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Well, the Bible says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Where did they get that from? From Exodus. God was their light. This light that was in the house of every Israeli citizen was supernatural. It was the presence of God. But notice here the response of Pharaoh in verse 27. Pharaoh said to them, "Get away from me, take heed to yourself, and see my face no more. For in the day you will see my face, you shall die." And so Moses said, "You have spoken well. I will never see your face again." You see, Pharaoh has rejected God's revelation. And with rejection, Pharaoh's heart becomes strengthened, hardened, determined against God. And even after 9 plagues, it's in his heart to refuse to let the children of Israel worship and serve God. And that tells me that the nature of this is demonic. Why? Because Satan doesn't want God's people to worship him. Satan doesn't want God's people to serve him, to serve God. Satan wants to be worshiped. And he stops the worship of God here in Egypt by using Pharaoh to send out a proclamation, an edict, to keep them from gathering in the wilderness. You know, Satan wants to stop the worship of God in the world today. And yet the worship of God continues. For wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. That doesn't mean just gathering together a bunch of Christians to watch TV or have dinner. That doesn't mean that that's a gathering. But when they're gathering for the purpose of worshiping the Lord, they're gathering for the purpose of seeking the Lord, God says, I am there in the midst. But you see, the point is that the world was affected, but not the people of God. The world encountered darkness, but not the people of God. The people of God were experiencing the supernatural light of God's presence, and it was in every home of the Israelis. But the aspect I want to point out is this in verse 29. Moses says, you have spoken well. I will never see your face again. And here is an important aspect about the day of the Lord. And that is, in the day of the Lord, wickedness will be destroyed. Wickedness will be destroyed. In Daniel 8, Daniel receives a vision about the day of the Lord. He says in verse 23 of chapter 8, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he will cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which was told is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. What are the many days in the future? Daniel is getting a vision of the day of the Lord, that day that is yet to come. Notice here, Daniel says that a king will rise who is fierce, who is tough and deceptive. This king will have power, but it won't be his own power. It will be power that is given to him, surrendered to him. And how will he get this position of power? Through his cunning, through his deceit, by telling the world that they will prosper under his leadership. And the nations of the world will believe him. And they will give power up to him. And the Bible refers to this person as the Antichrist or the Anti-Messiah. And what I'm seeing now with the coronavirus is really how someone could rise to power in a short time and take control of the world. It's not going to happen now because the world is not united altogether. We're kind of in our own separate countries, dealing with the coronavirus, sharing information, and yet dealing with it in our own individual ways. But what it's going to take to unite all the nations together is a global crisis. And I believe that that global crisis will come when the church is raptured out of this world. When the rapture of the church happens, immediately millions of people all over the world will be gone. World leaders will be gone. Leaders of states, leaders of cities will be gone. People in positions of authority in the military will be gone. And the chaos that erupts will cause a crisis around the world. And at that time, when that crisis occurs, martial law will be declared. You know, we're going to see martial law declared here very soon in America. It's coming. How do I know that? Because the Lord is good, and he lets us know these things. Every nation will be on lockdown. The leaders of the world will convene to decide, how are we going to deal with this global crisis? And during this time of crisis, a world leader will emerge, someone who is decisive, someone who is cunning, has great strategies, great ideas, and someone who will step up and deceive the world into believing that he is the one that will solve every problem. And every leader will willingly forfeit over sovereignty to this person, this world leader, because it will make sense. It will be the sensible thing to do. You know, it's interesting as I've watched how different leaders are speaking about this coronavirus. And one leader in particular, as he declared lockdown over the state of California, as he's talking about it, he wasn't talking about it as if he was with us in it. He wasn't saying, we as Californians, yes, we're in this situation, but you know, we need to enjoy the air. He was saying, I want you to enjoy the fresh air. I want you to take. All of a sudden, it's like he is the deliverer. And I thought, that's how it's going to happen. There's going to be one that rises up, and he will take the place of God to this world. And he will promise things that only God can deliver. And every nation will give him power. And he will broker a peace treaty between Israel and Palestine, promising Israel the right to rebuild the temple in exchange for a two-state solution. And Israel will concur, the Palestinians will concur, and they will build their temples and they will begin sacrifice. And 3.5 years into that sacrifice, or into that time, that 7-year treaty, he will break that treaty and he will come in and take over that temple, and it will cause a world war because Israel will not let someone take over the temple, but he will seek to. And the nations of the world are going to hail this guy as a global problem solver. In fact, he'll probably win a Nobel Peace Prize for brokering this deal in the Middle East. But here's the thing. Once he's in power, he will attack Israel. And he will even rise against the Prince of Princes. Who is the Prince of Princes? It's Jesus himself. He will rise up against Jesus himself. But notice the outcome of the Antichrist. It says, he shall be broken without human means. In other words, humanity will not be able to defeat him. No army on earth will be able to defeat him. He will command all power, but he will be defeated supernaturally. And John writes about the supernatural defeat of the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 19. He says in verse 11 and following, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Friends, thank you for listening to the program today. You know, the statistics on life are quite staggering. It's been said that 1 out of every 1 person is going to die. And on that day, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready to meet God? Well, you can be ready. You can have that assurance that your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven by praying a simple prayer and mean it with all your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, I want to be ready to meet you. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me for all my sins and wash me clean of all the wickedness I've done. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for you all the days of my life. And if you've prayed that prayer with me right now, I can tell you with full assurance that you are going to be in heaven.
Thanks for tuning in to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis. We pray today's teaching has been a blessing to you and drawn you closer to your Savior, Jesus Christ. It's possible that today you're hearing about Jesus for the first time. If that's the case, we're so glad you've joined us today. We want to tell you more about how he can change your life forever. Just visit our website, calvarysanclemente.org, and click on Good News under the Home tab. This will lay out exactly what God's plans were for salvation and how His Son Jesus fits into the picture. You'll also find step-by-step instructions to start this relationship that will make all the difference in your life. If you still have questions or you'd like to talk to someone in person, please don't hesitate to call us. You can reach us at 949-228-9117. Again, that number is 949-228-9117. Do you happen to live in the San Clemente area? If so, come join us this weekend for church. We have services every Sunday and Thursday where we'll dig into the Bible together and spend time getting to know one another in deeper and more meaningful ways. Visit calvarysanclemente.org for service times and directions. You can also be a part of our services virtually. We're streaming through YouTube and Facebook Live, as well as on our website. Again, just go to calvarysanclemente.org to connect. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Holland next time for another edition of Worship Life Radio.
Have you ever wondered what it means to be saved? What are you saved from? Is salvation only about going to heaven? Pastor Holland's message series, So Great a Salvation, will answer these questions and help you discover the rich, abundant life salvation brings. Order your personal copy of So Great a Salvation at worshipliferadio.com.